You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Friday, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Vols. It's your team every day. I'm Eric Kane, your host, @_Kaner on Twitter, @LockedOnVols. And we've reached the end of the work week, everybody. So round of applause. And if you're listening to this podcast on a Friday morning, you know what to do. Go ahead and kill this Friday and get on to the weekend. Guys, I want to say whenever you're done listening to this podcast, check out Locked On SEC, the only place where you can get SEC news 5 days a week, and that's with host Chris Gordy on Sports 790. You can follow Locked On SEC Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, just like you can follow Locked On Vols. Got a fun show coming up here today, and of course, it is a Friday, and we're going to have a little fun with it. Shout out to Matthew for checking out the Apple Podcast, leaving me a nice little review this week. It is Five Star Friday, so I encourage you guys to head on over there and leave a positive review and rate 5 stars on Apple Podcasts for this podcast if you so choose. But ESPN put out its preseason, or this version of the preseason, FPI rankings, the Football Power Index, where they kind of go through game by game for each team and give them a percentage chance of winning that game. And Tennessee favored, or heavily favored, to win at least 6 games, at least according to this FPI. It's kind of going along with what I've been saying this entire offseason. So I want to dive into that a little bit in segment number one. In segment two, Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel checks in to preview Tennessee and Arkansas, number one against number four, in a 100% capacity filled Lindsey Nelson Stadium. They're going to be checkerboarding Lindsey Nelson Stadium as well this weekend, so that should be fun. We will chat all things Tennessee baseball in segment two. And closing out the show in segment three, Josh Ward, our friend, of course, former host and contributor here to this podcast on Ward Wednesday, he caught up with Jamai Meshack, of course, Tennessee basketball signee, a part of this 2021 recruiting class. Caught up with him, going to play a couple clips from that interview, some great stuff from the future volunteer. And that is a Friday show rundown here on Locked On Vols. So let's look at this Football Power Index from ESPN. All right, so Tennessee has nearly, according to this Football Power Index, Tennessee football has a nearly 80% chance of winning 6 games in the debut season for Josh Heupel in 2021. 79.6% to be exact. And under the FBI numbers for 2021 season, Tennessee ranks 48th nationally, 12th in the SEC. So, you know, that's not great, but it is what it is. It's kind of expected coming off a 3-7 season with roster turnover like you saw at Henry Tuotuo, Eric Gray, Wanya Morris, just a few players that have darted for the transfer portal and are finding a home elsewhere. And certainly the coaching change and everything that's been involved with it. So Tennessee, according to the FBI, ranked 48th nationally, 12th in the SEC, a projected win-loss record of 7-5. Specific numbers produced by the FBI are 6.6 wins and 5.4 losses. So for those of you that aren't really familiar with the Football Power Index, it's a measure of team strength that is meant to be the best predictor of the team's performance going forward for the rest of the season. That's kind of the definition of the FPI. The formula represents how many points above or below average a team is while projecting results based on 20,000 simulations with ratings and projections daily updated. So you look at, you know, overall from a national landscape, Alabama, the number one team in the 2021 rankings here, projected at 11-2. Crimson Tide have a 51.2% chance to win the SEC, a 76.3% chance to reach the college football playoff, and over 50% chance to make the national championship game. So if you're an Alabama fan, you got to like these odds already, but that's, you know, pretty much year in and year out. Oklahoma's at 2, according to the FBI, ahead of Clemson at 3, Iowa State, Ohio State, and round out the top 5. Texas A&M, Georgia, Mississippi State, Oklahoma State, and Penn State round out the top 10. So you're hearing a lot of these teams that you wouldn't expect to be in a traditional top 10, and the FBI is not identical to the AP top 10, to the coaches' polls top 10. The FBI is normally a little wacky because it's all analytics. I mean, you look right here, Mississippi State. What am I missing here, okay? I understand the defense is good, but, you know, what am I missing here? I mean, we saw Mississippi State in a way too early projection poll a couple weeks ago. What's going on there? Texas A&M, you're losing Kellen Mond. Okay, Georgia, I understand that. I think Georgia should be in the top 5. And then you've had some guys leave the program for Okie State and Penn State, which had an underwhelming season in 2020. So the FBI typically looks a little bit more funky compared to some other traditional polls. Back to Tennessee. The FBI gives Tennessee a 2.3% chance to win the SEC East, a 0.2% chance to win the SEC Championship. So what I take from that is, you're telling me there's a chance, am I right? Georgia is the SEC favorite, which, again, I believe Georgia's going to be really, you know, taking on Alabama to try to win that SEC Championship and knock on the door of the college football playoff when it's all said and done. Georgia has a 69.2% nice chance to win the SEC East, ahead of a 17.2% chance for Florida to win the East. The five SEC teams ranked lowest in the FBI are all from the East: Missouri at 34, Kentucky at 39, Tennessee at 48, South Carolina at 68, and Vanderbilt at 93. So from the SEC as a whole, Tennessee comes in third lowest, with South Carolina and Vanderbilt behind the Volunteers. But as I've been saying the entire season, or the entire offseason, despite what we saw in spring from the defense, despite all the question marks looming on this team right now, despite everybody leaving from this roster that were pretty talented playmakers, I still think Tennessee has a walking path to six wins this season. I mean, I really do, just because the schedule is what it is. So if you kind of break down what's going on here for Tennessee, you got really good opportunities to win the first 3 weeks of the season. Bowling Green checks in at 126 for the FPI, the lowest ranked opponent that's on the schedule. Tennessee Tech is not ranked, as it's an FCS team. Pittsburgh is ranked 51st. That's just a couple spots behind Tennessee. I mean, that's going to be, Tennessee will likely be the favorite in that game because it'll be at home, but that's kind of a coin flip right now. But Pittsburgh is the fifth lowest ranked team on the schedule. South Alabama, later on the season, who visits Neyland in November, is ranked 118, not far ahead of Vanderbilt at number 93. Tennessee's opponent in the 2021 regular season finale, of course, is Vanderbilt. South Carolina is at 68. I mentioned that. That's the fourth lowest team ranked on the schedule, sandwiched in between Pittsburgh and Vanderbilt. If case you're wondering, Florida is at number 14 per the FBI. Ole Miss is number 22, and again, Missouri is at number 34. So I really think Tennessee has, I mean, this didn't change my opinion. This only validates my opinion, and, you know, my opinion is my opinion. We'll see what it's worth in the fall, but Tennessee has a great, I think Tennessee can walk to six wins. I mean, an excellent opportunity to get six wins. Sweeping the non-conference schedule won't be picture perfect because Pittsburgh, again, is a talented team and is, I think Tennessee and Pittsburgh are very, very much on a level playing field right now. That's not easy to hear, but that's my opinion. I think Tennessee will be favored to win that game. And, you know, if Tennessee starts off the season strong with Bowling Green, we'll have to see exactly kind of where they are right there. And we'll have to see what that game looks like. But you win that game against Pittsburgh, you're starting off 4-0 in the non-conference. You're beating Vanderbilt, that's five wins. You're beating South Carolina, that's six wins right there. As often is the case in football seasons, you obviously lose one that you're not expected to, and sometimes you win one you're not expected to either. Can Tennessee pull off an upset against Kentucky? Can Tennessee pull off an upset against Missouri? We'll have to see. Can Tennessee keep up with Ole Miss? We'll have to see. Nonetheless, that is what the FPI thinks of Tennessee right now. That was put out by ESPN a little earlier this week. That is the Football Power Index, and again, Tennessee a 79.6% chance, according to the FPI, to win six games this season. Projects the Volunteers at 7-5, more closely at 6.6 wins and 5.4 losses. So I found that kind of interesting there. Take it for what it is. Guys, we'll catch up with a team that is in the top five and cruising so far this season, but we'll have a challenge this weekend and a challenge next weekend. That is the Tennessee baseball team, as South Carolina comes to town South Carolina plays Tennessee in 2 weeks, as Arkansas comes to Neyland Stadium here tonight to kick off a three-game set. Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel, he will check in with this podcast here on the other side. But first, guys, Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action, as my dog walks right beside my microphone, if you can hear that. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the long balls, all the run-scoring doubles, all the fun and exciting action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, the odds, the information on your sporting needs, again, with baseball, with the NBA, which starts the playoffs here in just a little bit, with hockey that's kind of down the home stretch right now, with those big-time UFC MMA matchups that you see on pay-per-view every couple months or so. Before the next pitch, you need to head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or on your mobile device, and you can check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, and the contest information. So I don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want you to get in the game. I want you to put your sports knowledge to use, especially for your favorite team and your favorite team's conference, because you know that conference. And win some money. It's easy at BetOnline. Head on over to the website, use that mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you got to do, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. Segment two of a Friday, Locked On Vols, here on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you get your podcast, the Odyssey app. I got Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel coming on to talk a little Tennessee baseball. And Mike, appreciate the time, man. Listen, as you know, I don't have to tell you this, but big series coming up at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, 100% capacity. It is number one against number four, the Razorbacks against the Volunteers. Man, what's the vibe like in the Tennessee baseball community right now, knowing just kind of what's at stake right now between the two top teams in the SEC coming to battle this weekend?
Man, I mean, this has kind of been the deal of the season. Tennessee's had such a big-time home slate. You know, they had LSU here, they had Florida here, they had Vanderbilt here. Now they get Arkansas here. I think that just has given Tennessee fans, even more so now since the stadium's opening to 100% capacity this weekend, just given so many people an opportunity to see a really good Tennessee baseball team out there. But certainly now this is the number one team coming in. Tennessee's number four. I mean, you've got an opportunity to potentially clinch your SEC division if you go in there this weekend and have a really good series, because you're a half game up, I believe, at this point, if you're Tennessee on Vanderbilt. So, I mean, you've got an opportunity to make a major statement and do some big things. And this team's found a way to do a lot of things this season, so it's been interesting to watch.
Mike, when you break down this matchup, you know, we know what Tennessee's lineup is capable of, certainly when they're all clicking on all cylinders, which has really not been the case for the majority of this season, but still you've had players step up all year long. Compare the lineups, you know, lineup to lineup. I know Arkansas's got one of the best lineups in all of baseball, starting pitching staff, Friday, Saturday starters, all that. Kind of how does Tennessee match up in this series against Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas, you know, one of the best slugging teams. I mean, you know, it's a program Tony Vitello helped build. I mean, they're known for having big-time hitters. They're known for hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And they're up there, as always, in terms of slugging. They get on base. I mean, just a good offensive team. Also have the best closer, probably, in the SEC, and one of the best weekend starters. So it's a good team. But that's what you expect when you welcome in an SEC team like this anytime. You know, the interesting thing, this doesn't exactly answer your question necessarily, but the interesting thing about this Tennessee team to me is it kind of doesn't matter how they match up. They seem to find a way to battle and compete, win some games they probably shouldn't. I mean, even if you just look back to the Vanderbilt series where they, you know, really get handled by Kumar Rocker on Friday, then they come back and hit three homers off Jack Leiter, who had allowed one all season. I mean, this team just does things, finds a way. So I don't think it's a team that even cares or worries about how it matches up. They just kind of go in there and grind it and seem to find a way more often than not, obviously.
Yeah, so Tennessee trying to, you know, get itself in position. It's done a good job so far this year of hosting a regional coming up in a couple of weeks, and obviously a tremendous challenge this weekend against Arkansas, next weekend against South Carolina. How do you view Tennessee in terms of positioning to host a regional? And what is, you know, maybe these next six games, what does Tennessee need to do over the course of the next two weekends to kind of try to lock that up?
So I believe the NCAA is announcing the 20 candidates to host sometime this week. And I would assume Tennessee is certainly among those 20. I don't think it's an impossible situation to say that Tennessee is among the super regional hosts at this point, which typically in a normal year are the eight national seeds, which Tennessee would be in line for. Yeah, I believe they're announcing the 20 potential sites, which will then be whittled down to 16 come the selection show. And I would assume Tennessee's among those. But in terms of what you've got to do the next 2 weeks to guarantee that is just keep winning games. You know, I think when you look back at the way that Tennessee's schedule fell, it kind of seemed like the hard series were lumped together, and that happened again now. So you look back at Vanderbilt and Florida, which were back-to-back. I think when you're Tennessee looking at that, you say, let's at least split this. Let's at least go 3-3, and then you feel good about it. And I would assume that Tennessee's, you know, same thing. You want to win them all, but realistically, with these two series with Arkansas and South Carolina, that's tough to do. So, again, I think you're looking at it and saying, don't get swept ever. And if you can go 3-3 between these two series, you probably feel really good about yourself going into the postseason, going into host. That puts you at, you know, 40-14, 20-10 in the SEC. I mean, that's a really good season.
Mike, you've been in this business for a little while now. You've been in a couple of different markets. You've covered Tennessee football the last 4 or 5 years, which has not been it's been entertaining nonetheless. It's been busy. Content is at a premium, but in terms of just enjoying the day of work, you know, covering this Tennessee baseball team from when you first grew up in this market until now, seeing that slow rise that, you know, under Tony Vitello, it just keeps getting better and better and better. How enjoyable is it to cover this Tennessee baseball team?
I mean, I'm a baseball guy at heart. I mean, that's the sport that I grew up playing. You say go Braves?
Go Braves, baby.
That hurts because they're not good. but go Braves anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's the sport I grew up playing, grew up watching. So it's something I really enjoy covering. You know, I get asked a lot just by friends or people who find out what I do, you know, what's my favorite part of it. And the answer is always baseball. I just like going to the ballpark. I think it's fun to be there. It's fun to watch the games, take it in. The environment's usually pretty good, especially with what we're looking ahead to this weekend. So I enjoy it. And it's been interesting to watch how this program has evolved in 4 years, because I was hired here at the New Sentinel about probably 4 months after Tony Vitello was hired at UT. So gotten to kind of see the whole process here unfold. And, you know, they were pretty rough to watch his first year, a lot of strikeouts from some holdovers. And but they've quickly built an attitude and a mentality, you know, that shows at the plate how they grind through at bats. That shows, you know, in the field how they go all out. That shows how the pitchers compete and throw strikes. I mean, they live in the strike zone. And so it's just an attitude and a culture. And seeing how quickly that's been built and bought into by a lot of players is pretty impressive.
I got two more for you, Mike. Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel. How good is Liam Spence so far this year, and why is nobody talking about Liam Spence nationally?
Well, there may be a feature in the News Sentinel on Liam Spence tomorrow morning. little plug. You know, because I think typically you go into the year expecting certain players to be certain players, and those are the players that are going to get talked about. Liam Spence is not a flashy baseball player. You know, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs by design, mind you. His at-bats aren't always pretty, but they're functional. He gets on base. He moves runners over. He just seems like a guy who never wastes a plate appearance. And again, that's by design. I mean, that's something that he's focused on. But it is wild to see someone with a 530 on base percentage. I mean, legitimately, every time he steps to the plate, he is more likely to reach first base than he is to get out, which is an insane stat. I know the guys in UT history who've done that are Todd Helton, Chris Burke, and Chase Headley, all of them played in the big leagues. So, I mean, that just kind of tells you the type of season that Liam Spence is having for Tennessee.
All right, man, last question I got for you. You are the utility man for the Knoxville News Sentinel. You cover baseball, you cover basketball, you cover football. You cover, you know, all these sports, but basketball is your beat, okay? I do want to ask you one basketball question as we say goodbye here. Tennessee has transformed this roster. A lot of subtractions, a lot of additions. John Fulkerson's coming back into the fold. You got a transfer. You got a couple of transfers. You got a transfer from Justin Powell from obviously Auburn. You have a really nice recruiting class. You're adding Kennedy Chandler, all that stuff. Is it fair to say that Tennessee might not be as talented as last year's roster? Of course, the Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. But Tennessee is going to enter the new season more complete than what it was a season ago. Is that fair?
I don't think it's fair. I think it's accurate. I think this is a better Tennessee roster. Certainly you do lack, you know, the two five-star guards you had last year with Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson, but I also think you could argue and make a pretty good case that this roster is more talented. I mean, with Kennedy Chandler, Brandon Huntley Hatfield coming in, Jonas Adu, Jemai Meshack, I mean, some of the guys they're bringing in are also big-time talents. I mean, I think three or four of them are in the top 65 recruits in the 24/7 sports composite. I mean, so you're bringing in a lot of talent too, but certainly what you see is a roster that Rick Barnes can roll out 1 through 5 that is built better. Last year, Tennessee just didn't have the post depth and post options when John Fulkerson struggled and Eve Pons kind of deferred. They just didn't have post guys. Now they have different options. You know, Adu and Huntley Hatfield are options now. And having a true point guard is going to change this team as well, I think, because last year, despite the insane guard talent, they did not have a true point guard, and that's what Kennedy Chandler is. So, yeah, I think in terms of a roster build and a lineup, you're absolutely looking at a better constructed team than what Tennessee had last year.
By Mike Wilson on Twitter, Mike Wilson, Knox News Sentinel. Man, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining the show today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Some really good information there from Mike Wilson. So I really do appreciate him joining the show as we get ready for a monster baseball series this weekend at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We got a final segment here coming up here on Locked On Vols. But before that, I got to get you ready for the weekend by telling you about Built Bar. It is flavor profile time, everybody. What flavor do we want to check out today? Well, the majority. I'm not even going to single out just one flavor. The majority of these Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. There are a couple of the flavors that have 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. There's 9 amazing flavors. All of them are tasty. All of them are healthy. All of them taste like a candy bar because it's 100% chocolate, but it's a protein bar, and it's good for the health-conscious guy or gal. So you want to go ahead and go on over to BuiltBar.com and order those, or the Built Bar of your choice. We did that whole March Madness Built Bar bracket, and we decided which one was the best and had a whole lot of fun with that. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. It's at BuiltBar.com. It's all at BuiltBar.com.
Got a final segment left here of a Friday Locked On Vols, and then we'll hand it off to the weekend, guys. But as Mike told us in segment number 2, man, what a big old series at Lindsey Nelson Stadium tonight. Really excited about that. Hey, if you're going to the game, if you're going to be suiting up in orange or white to checkerboard Lindsey Nelson Stadium tonight, send me pictures at LockedOnVols at _Caner. Let me know you're there. And, man, it's going to be a raucous environment. I hope to get out there at some point this weekend for sure. All right, so to cap off a Friday show and a week's worth of shows, I'm going to play some audio from our friend Josh Ward. He caught up with Jemai Meshack, Tennessee, a small forward signee, kind of a wing player, and he is excited about getting into Knoxville to take part in this next phase in his basketball journey. So a really good interview that Josh played, caught up with Jemai, and played it on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal in Knoxville earlier this week, and I was blown away. Josh sent me the audio. Of course, I heard a little bit of it live. Josh sent me the audio a couple days ago, and I had content already booked up for this week's worth of shows, and I didn't listen to it until Thursday evening, and I sat there and listened to the 14-minute clip, and man, I was blown away. You talk about a well-spoken, well-mature, well-rounded young man. And I think you guys are going to love it when he gets here on Rocky Top. But I want to go ahead and play a couple clips from Josh's interview with Jemai Meshack. Of course, Jemai, a 4-star small forward, 6'5", 180 pounds, of course, a part of the class of 2021. He is from California, a town just outside of Los Angeles. He is ranked as the 50th player in the class per Rivals, 12th at his position. And, of course, he is a part of the number 2 recruiting class for Tennessee in the class of 2021. Tennessee and Jemai Meshack, why was that just the perfect pairing? Why did it make sense? And why did Meshack eventually want to come to Knoxville and play for Rick Barnes? Here is what Tennessee's 2021 signee had to say about the pairing of himself with the Volunteers.
It worked out perfectly. You know, I was looking at Tennessee, looking at the guys that they've gotten over the past few years, and looking how much they've worked, you know, how much they've put in to get to where they are now, you know, whether it was, 4 years like Admiral Schofield and being able to get to where he was, or 6 months, 6 or 7 months like Keon and Jaden this past year, they are always able to develop their guys. And, you know, that's something that I really saw and firsthand, you know, just being able to commit there and, you know, talking with the coaches, seeing how they go through workouts, seeing how they go through practice, them telling me about it. It was something that I was, you know, excited for as somebody who wants to grow and learn and to get better in this field. And seeing that, it was a match made in heaven. You know, they're workaholics just like me. And that's why I'm excited to get in the lab with them, because I know how much I'm going to grow.
Later on in the interview, he was asked about the connections that he's already been making with players on the Tennessee roster. He'll go into detail about some of those players and obviously some players that he's coming in with. Tennessee, the number two recruiting class in the country for the 2021 class per Rivals. Five guys coming in, 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, a 3-star, just behind Michigan in that regard. Of course, you got Mayshak joining Kennedy Chandler, who is one of the top players in the country. You got Huntley Hatfield coming in, Jonas Adu, and Dabunje Adu. That makes up the entire class. And as we talked with Mike there at the very end of the interview, and what I've been saying on this podcast, I think you might lack a little bit of talent compared to last year's class, because it's hard to outdo what, you know, Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson are. But I think you're going to be more of a well-rounded team in 2021. But nonetheless, here is Jamai Mayshak on the connections that he has formed with his future teammates and the relationships that are being built in that regard.
Man, I've made plenty of connections with Tennessee. You know, even former players like Grant Williams, Lamonte Turner. I've talked to them too. Both them they've been really cool guys. Players that are current. You know, like Josiah. Talked to him a couple times. Euros has been great. With, you know, kind of telling me the things that are going on there. And of course, you know, my teammates that are coming in with, we have a group chat and stuff. We talk all the time. You know, they seem so, you know, cool. We're already getting connected, already getting tight. And it's just going to be exciting. You know, you mentioned the coaches, you know, talking to Coach Clark and Coach Ganey. They've reached out and, you know, we've had some connections there as well. You know, I've already had a special connection with Coach Schwartz and Coach Barnes, you know, since the beginning. And they've been, you know, spectacular as far as recruiting me and telling me where they see me going in this university and in this program. But yeah, I'm super excited, especially with the guys I'm coming in with. You know, I've watched, you know, them play even before I was committed. And then now, you know, how everything was lined up. You know, coming in, I was the first commitment, so I wasn't expecting, you know, to go into Tennessee with, you know, a number two ranked recruiting class. But now that we got it, and now that I see the players that we've got it, and the guys I'm going to be playing with, it's exciting. And, you know, it's nothing but competition that's going to be going on in practice, and we're all going to be growing with each other. So it's amazing.
And then the last clip I want to play for you guys from Jamai Mayshak's conversation with Josh Ward was asked about being under the radar a little bit. Now, he's ranked 50th in the nation per Rivals, but when you look at his recruiting class alone, you've got Kennedy Chandler, who's ranked 7th. You got Jonas Adu, 21st. You got Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who's 32nd. You got Quentin Dabunje, who's 147th. And so this is obviously, you got to have talented, high-rated prospects to make up the number two recruiting class in the country. But this is what Jamai Mayshak had to say, and just listen to the maturity here, and talking about how it doesn't really bother him. He uses it as motivation, of course, but, you know, everyone's got a job to do in terms of the analyst who comes up with these rankings, and that doesn't affect him at all. This is a great answer. Listen to this answer from Jamai Mayshak.
For sure, for sure. It's driven me, you know. It's definitely driven me. And all the rankings is all opinion-based on analysts, and, you know, it's no shot to them. They worked hard in what they're doing, and they've made many good scouting reports. And as you, like you said, it's not like I'm completely off the radar either, but I know who I am. I know how much I put into this game. And seeing that, you know, it makes me go harder. It makes me look at the players who are above me, you know, no matter what position, and makes me work that much harder. Just knowing that, you know, once we get to this college level and everything is there, all the lights, all the cameras are there, and I'm gonna be able to play and show myself. I know I'm going to prove a lot of people wrong. And that part right there is just, as a competitor, it drives me. And, you know, I'm excited.
Some really, really good stuff there from a future volunteer that'll get up here on campus this summer, and Jamai Mayshak, and that is courtesy of our friend Josh Ward. I will link the entire interview in the show notes if you want to check the entire interview out and hear some of the other stuff that Mayshak had to say to Josh Ward. Guys, that's going to do it here for a Friday show, a week's worth of show. And as soon as we get done here, remember, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Will the Dallas Cowboys start the season 0-2? That's the cue of the day. You can get that and more, including all the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast with Peter Bukowski. You can listen to Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I appreciate you so much. Really excited about next week's shows. Hopefully going to get some big-time interviews, maybe some commits to join the show. Hoping to get that underway next week as well. Guys, enjoy it. Have a safe and fun weekend. And until then, have a great rest of your Friday, everybody.